George's Secret Key to the Universe by Lucy and Stephen Hawking. Chapter 3. If George had thought the kitchen was untidy, then this next room was in a whole different dimension of messiness. It was filled with piles and piles of books, stacked up so high that some of the wobbly towers reached almost to the ceiling. As Freddy charged right through the middle of the room, notebooks, paper packs, leather-bound tomes, and bits of paper flew up in a tornado all around him. "Catch him!" shouted Eric, who was trying to drive the pig back towards the kitchen. "I'm trying!" shouted George back as he was battered in the face by a shiny jacketed book. "Hurry!" said Eric. "We must get him out of here!" With a great leap, Annie's dad hurled himself right onto Freddy's back and grabbed his ears. Using them as a sort of steering wheel, he turned the pig, who was still moving at quite some speed, and rode him like a buckling bronco through the door and back into the kitchen. Left alone, George looked around in wonder. He had never been in a room like this before. Not only was it beautifully, gloriously messy as all the papers flying about in the air came gently down to the ground, but it was also full of exciting objects. On the wall, a huge blackboard covered in symbols and squiggles and coloured chalk caught his eye. It also had lots of writing on it, but George didn't stop to read it. There were too many other things to look at. In the corner, a grandfather clock ticked slowly, and the noise of the swinging pendulum clicking in time with a row of silvery balls suspended on very fine wire which seemed to be in a perpetual motion. On the wooden stand was a long brass tube which pointed up towards the window. It looked old and beautiful, and George couldn't resist touching the metal, which felt cool and soft at the same time. Eric walked back into the room, his shirt untucked, his hair standing on end, his glasses at a strange angle, and a huge smile on his face. In his hand he held a book, which he had caught whilst riding Freddy out of the room. "George, this is brilliant!" Eric looked thrilled. "I thought I'd lost it. It's my new book. I couldn't see it anywhere, and now your pig has found it for me. What a result!" George just stood there, hand on the metal tube, staring at Eric open-mouthed. He'd been expecting to get into trouble for the damage his pig had wreaked, but Eric didn't seem very angry. He wasn't like anyone George had ever met. He never seemed to get cross, no matter what happened in his house. It was all very baffling. "So I must thank you for all your help today," continued the peculiar Eric, putting the lost book on top of a cardboard box. "Help?" echoed George faintly, who couldn't quite believe what he was hearing. "Yes, help," said Eric firmly. "As you seem so interested in science, perhaps I could tell you a bit more about it, by way of a thank you. Where should we start? What would you like to know?" George's mind was so full of questions that he found it hard to just pick just one. Instead, he pointed at the metal tube. "What's this?" he asked. "Good choice, George, good choice," said Eric happily. "That's my telescope. It's a very old one. 400 years ago, it belonged to a man called Galileo. He lived in Italy, and loved looking up at the sky at night. At that time, people believed that all the planets in our solar system went around the Earth. Even the Sun, they thought, orbited our planet." "But I know that's not true," said George, putting his eye to the old telescope. "I know that the Earth goes around the Sun." "You do now," said Eric. "Science is about gaining knowledge through experience. You know that fact because Galileo discovered it all those years ago. By looking through his telescope, he realised that the Earth and all the other planets in the solar system orbit the Sun. Can you see anything?" "I can see the Moon," said George, squinting up at the telescope, which was angled to look out of the sitting room window up into the evening sky. "It looks like it's smiling." "Those are scars from a violent past, the impacts of meteorites that crashed on the surface," said Eric. "You can't see very far with Galileo's telescope, but if you went to an observatory and looked through it through a really big telescope, you'd be able to see stars billions and billions of miles away, stars so far away that by the time their light reaches our planet, they may actually already be dead." "Can a star die? Really?" asked George. "Oh, yes," said Eric. "But first, I want to show you how a star is born, and then we'll take a look at how it dies. Hang on a minute, George, while I get everything set up. I think you're going to like this."